sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick it again. Cause that's the only way to win, that's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud, gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting, lights out.
Hey, how y'all doing today? We are in the month of April, so you know what that means. We are down to the Final Four. You saw me talk about the men's on Monday. Today, we talk about the ladies today because, as currently speaking, all four teams are in Tampa right now preparing to face off on Friday and then the national championship game being on Sunday. Can't wait for that. Looking forward to these games. And going to show you how the Shooting Lights Out Women's Tournament Challenge did on ESPN, like I showed you the men. But that's later on in the show. But I'm not alone. Today, joining me, she is the one of the most known women to talk college basketball for the women's, and one of the most known women to talk WNBA basketball, the queen of who's Miss Megan Price.
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Awesome. I'm having a great week. Getting ready for baseball to start. So I work for a AA team, and the the season gets underway next Tuesday. So it is a whirlwind of 142 games.
Well, at least we won't have the Olympics this year. So
right, indeed.
I won't be stringing you along so much this year.
No worries.
But that was a great time that we had doing.
No, it was a good time. I enjoyed covering that. I think that, you know, we're going to see quite a few, especially on the lady side, that we saw in that coverage of the Olympics. So we're going to see quite a few international players. There's been some more that have signed with the Valkyries today, somebody from France. So I expect us to see some of the people that like we did that coverage with and on. We're going to see them real soon because the WNBA season is about to start in about 6 weeks.
Yeah, no, I got a WNBA drop coming up later this month.
Awesome. And then obviously after the championship, a week after the championship, is the draft for the WNBA. And there's been news out of college that affects the WNBA draft over this week.
So I know.
Oh, I'm not sure where you got that.
I got that on there.
Okay, because it is going to be an interesting draft now.
You should know your boy don't miss news.
That's
like
why I said it real easy, you know.
Your boy don't miss news like that, and unfortunately, I can't start on that one yet because I was going to start there, but I can't start there because more news came about.
Oh, indeed.
And even though we are talking ladies, I have to start with this because Carmelo Anthony will be headlining the 2025 Hall of Fame class.
I love this. It is something that's definitely well deserved. Is this first ballot for him?
First ballot.
Absolutely well deserved. Something that he wasn't able to obtain during his career was a ring, but I don't think you can tell the history of basketball without Carmelo. So definitely somebody that I'm like, yeah, he definitely deserves to be there. I had hoped in that last comeback that he was going to be able to finally get a ring. He actually looked really, really good coming off the bench in Portland. And he looked good coming off the bench in LA. We just know what happened in LA. So had he stayed there in Portland and Dame stayed in Portland and all that worked out, I think that would have been the perfect fit right there. But, you know, when you come back and you haven't been in the league and got, how long was it that gap where he wasn't in the league? Like 18 months, maybe 2 years. And then he pops back in, plays for Portland, and he's in the running for sixth man of the year. So like you're still going to get some great minutes out of Carmelo.
Carmelo Anthony, you deserve it. One of the most natural bucket getters to step foot on a court.
For sure.
That man can put the ball in the hoop better than anybody I have.
It was almost the anniversary of the game where he had, where it was just buckets. It was like 62 points, nothing else.
Well, you can put up 62 points. You don't need to do nothing else.
Right, indeed. Kobe was proud.
even though Jokic did put up 61 in a triple double.
He did. Absolutely. What a crazy game.
So, got to give love to Carmelo Anthony. Well deserved, man. Absolutely. Happy for you, the headliner. Looking forward to seeing who will be joining you in 2025.
Agree.
That's going to be interesting. Now, to get back to what I'm really here for, which is college basketball for the ladies' side, the Naismith Awards have been revealed.
Oh, and I love this. So, somebody that didn't get to finish the tournament out due to injury, but we saw what she did all season long. She broke records throughout her sophomore season. Juju Watkins is our Naismith Award winner this year. I love that for her.
She's the player of the year on the Naismith side. I wish she grabbed the Wooden Award.
Right.
But she's the winner. UCLA, they coach of the year.
They did. And I think beating South Carolina is probably what got them to that point. And then also beating USC in the Big Ten tournament. Those two games, I think, were the defining moments to set her aside for that. And I will say, I don't dislike that choice. Her guard hasn't really shown up consistently this year. And so she did have to coach them around that. So I'm not mad at that pick.
And speaking of UCLA, Lauren Betts, Defensive Player of the Year.
Well deserved. Yeah, there's nothing you can say about Lauren, I feel like, in a negative manner. We saw how important she was in that matchup with LSU, and had LSU still had somebody like Angel Reese in the lane, it would have maybe come out differently, but they didn't have Angel Reese this year, and so it's Lauren Betts here.
So, Juju Rockin, Naismith Player of the Year, Cordy Kurtz, the coach of UCLA, coach of the year, and Lauren Betts of UCLA, Defensive Player of the Year for all the Naismith Awards. Now, we'll see, I think, sometime this week, maybe at the half point of the first Final Four game, we'll get the Wooden Award winners.
Right. And I feel like it's interesting that it was a all Big Ten region for that set of awards,
yep.
Which it was their first year in the Big Ten, and they play a different style than Big Ten basketball, the LA teams do. And it really, it's more like the leftover Pac-12 teams play different style of ball than Big Ten. Big Ten's real physical and a slower paced game. The only team that I really expected to be able to keep up with them shooting wise would be Iowa, because they play a similar type of offense as that. But man, LA teams came in and really did it big this year in Big Ten basketball.
Yep, they sure did. Can't be mad at it, because
it is what it is.
They handle business. They handle business, and it is what it is. So
absolutely.
But now we can get to the news that she wants to talk about. I talked about this with Cole Johnson on the men's side and how crazy it was. It's not as many women on this side, but it's the names that are in this that are crazy. So let's go to the transfer portal.
Whoo!
the three stars that are in the transfer portal. Here you go.
Right.
Where you want to start at?
I guess let's start with FSU, because that was really the first round of news I think we got.
The leading scorer in college basketball, Tania Lattis, into the transfer portal. And with her name into the transfer portal, I found out something interesting, which is scary for everybody who doesn't like South Carolina.
Oh, right. Yeah.
If you don't do your research, you know who she played with in high school? One Raven Johnson.
Right. Indeed. And there was some interactions online that kind of led for us to believe that she's probably going to end up at South Carolina. Now, that domino hasn't quite fallen just yet. However, I think we're going to wait and see after South Carolina's tournament run, and then we'll know a little bit more.
So if you don't like South Carolina, be very cautious. because the leading scorer might be one to team up with her high school teammate up in Columbia, South Carolina.
Right.
Another star name in the transfer portal?
Who?
Cody McMahon from Ohio State.
Didn't see that. I don't know that this was really a surprise, but it's still a move with a lot of weight. Cody was frustrated at the end of the season. And OSU is always there within the top 19 and up. So they always have some validity. They may not be a top five team, but they're there. You definitely have to pay attention to them. It's Big Ten style basketball. Like I said, it's physical, and it wears you down. But Cody was not ready for the pressure that came from the LA teams. And we kind of saw a little bit of this breakdown last year as well. And I had hoped to see her develop more this year, and I haven't seen that. Now, I heard a lot of people saying that she would fit in down at LSU, and I don't hate that pickup whatsoever. Kim needs somebody to come in and probably fill that role with that big personality, and Cody has that.
Did you say LSU?
I did.
Gosh, not LSU.
Now, and I'm not a Kim fan, but she does well when she has somebody that, like I said, has that big personality. We've seen Flaje say this, that Kim allows them to be exactly who they are. Like when she was recruiting Flaje, the main thing she did was take her by the studio because she knew that that's what she wants to do outside of basketball. And I think that was a power move by Kim. I hate that. I hate complimenting her, but it was a good move. And I think, you know, Cody actually might fit right in with her. It's not like when we heard HBL was going to LSU and we're all like, if she decides to go to LSU, I think it probably is a good fit.
By the way, Kim Market is in the headlines, by the way. and the thing about it is, I love it. I loved it. Y'all can be mad at her if you want to, but guess what? You don't start your question with a statement right after they lost. You just don't do that.
No, you don't do that. I do think that the reporter sounded young that asked that question. And as we all know, sometimes we get schooled in those situations. Sometimes just to kind of play devil's advocate here, I guess, in a press conference, you know, you're waiting in line to go and somebody says your question before you even get there and your hand's already raised and you're next in line and they call your name. And what do? You have to make up a question quick, fast, and in a hurry. So never know what led to that situation. I've definitely been there. I'll say that. I haven't had to get schooled by Kim Mulkey, but I've been there where it didn't go well in a press conference.
They're saying you do not start your question.
No, you don't.
No, I'm just telling them, I'm talking. You do not start your question by saying this is your second consecutive Elite Eight exit. You don't start it that way.
No, you certainly do not. I guarantee he'll never do that again.
I don't care what even Stephen A. Smith ain't like it, but guess what? And you know I'm a Stephen A. Smith fan. You're wrong, sir. I love it. Because guess what? Right. She just asked the question. Is that good or terrible? Then he answered terrible. Like, you must not understand how hard it is to get to Elite Eight.
Right. Top eight in the country. Like, that is not terrible. No, she was right with what she said. It was, you know, she was a little rough with it, but that's Kim for you. You got to know who you're dealing with.
So, Kim Mulkey, I'm with you. And surprisingly, the Queen of Hoops is with you, too.
I actually am.
And then the big news.
The big news, yeah. So
Notre Dame, Olivia Miles, will not be going to the WNBA draft, but that's really not the most shocking news. The shocking news is she's entered the transfer portal.
Right. Now, when she decided to forego the draft, I wasn't super surprised, even though, like, so she's projected to go number two. There were thoughts of her possibly going number one when Paige was struggling a little bit this season, but obviously Paige found her groove and, you know, it became clear who the one and the two were. And it was not, you know, there was no question out there. So that means that Liv would go to Seattle. And I don't necessarily think it's a money thing. NIL deals, they transfer when you get out. Like, they're called endorsement deals after that. We all know that. Like, they don't just go away once you become a pro. And so I don't think it was necessarily money, but I think she wanted her development to be a little bit more, and she couldn't see it there at Notre Dame anymore. And there's been two other players that have hit the portal since then, or actually I think more than that. And there were, I think there's only three left that were at the tournament on the roster. So she got to start questioning things with Neil, with that many that are leaving Notre Dame. I think she's a great coach, but something happened this year. So I'm not sure. I'm not privy to what happened behind the scenes there, but something happened.
See, I ain't know about the other people that left Notre Dame.
Yeah, there's like four other people that hit the portal besides Liv.
Because when news broke, people try to put Olivia Miles against Hannah Hartog. I'm like, they play very
well. I don't know
together.
That it's necessarily that. I do think that... I do think that Niel needs to get a hold of Hannah a little bit more. And while it is her team, and as you still have to play with a team and be a part of a team, it's not the Hannah Hidalgo team, it's the Notre Dame team.
So, but hey. Unfortunately, they took the Sweet 16 exit to the TCU Horned Frogs. And now Olivia Miles is in the transfer portal. So we have three stars we're looking at. Where would they go for 2025 season?
I don't know where Liv ends up. I've heard that TCU is the favorite, and that would be crazy. That's a Kevin Durant move to go join the team that put you out. So I don't know that I'd necessarily like that move just because of that. But if it's the right fit for her, then it's the right fit for her. I think that that's an excellent coach there at TCU. And he's a really positive person. So he could bring out some good in her, but definitely going to the Big 12 is a step down, in my opinion.
And think about it is, if somebody does go to TCU, it wouldn't surprise me because of how Haley Van Litt spoke about him. You know, mm-hmm. But I'm going to bring that back up when we get there.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to dive into how we got to the Final Four.
Okay.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC.
Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role. And I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already, you know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much. And you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime.
Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, the World Cup is in not one, not two, but three countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
Get Mouser Entertainment with Paramount Plus. Stream new movies such as Mean Girls, Transformers: Rise of the Beast, and Good Burger 2 with Paramount Plus. Stream live sports such as the UEFA Champions League, the NFL on CBS, the PGA Tour, and March Madness. Catch hit CBS shows such as Fire Country, Ghost, NCIS, and more. But also catch exclusive originals for Paramount Plus such as Special Ops Lioness, The Famous Stallones, the new streaming home of Showtime. Watch Showtime original series and movies when you sign up with Paramount Plus with Showtime. Make it a fun, action-packed adventure for the whole family and create kid-friendly profiles for the little ones. So much to stream with Paramount Plus, with over 45,000 full episodes from BET, CBS, Comedy Central, MTV, Nickelodeon, and more. Paramount Plus, Mount of Entertainment.
All right, welcome back to Shooting the Lights Out. Now we finna get into it. How we got down to a Final Four. Well, let's begin in the order the games were played. Birmingham Region 2 Final Four, South Carolina, the reigning defending champions. The 2 seed, the Duke Blue Devils. The 3 seed, and I must say, surprised me, the North Carolina Tar Heels. I did not think they would get past West Virginia, but they did.
Right.
They surprised the press.
They did. I've covered the Big 12 for a while now, and West Virginia, they always put on a show. They're consistently there. I wouldn't say they're a standout top 10 team in the country, but from 10 to 20 or 10 to 25 ranking, they're always there.
And then the 4 seed Maryland Terrapins, who possibly have the game of the tournament.
Right.
Surviving Alabama. I don't know how they did it.
Double overtime in that game. It was the ending for their star over there at Alabama. And what a year for Alabama basketball. I just want to say that. We've seen it on the men's side pretty consistently in the last 7-8 years. On the women's side, they're making a name for themselves as well. So not what you would expect for Alabama. You would think football, track. But here they are, basketball, both of them very relevant.
But only one can leave this region and head to Temple. And to no surprise, it is the reigning defending champion, South Carolina. Gamecocks.
It was not an easy road for South Carolina to get here. It was everyone talked about how this was the easiest region or walk to the Final Four, and that was not the case for South Carolina.
Well, let's go through the games. Yeah. Number one in the Sweet 16, they had a matchup with the Maryland Terrapins, the 4C, and if it wasn't for my laser for Riley, would have been saying, like we did in the men's tournament, we'll be seeing a new champion crowned.
Right. And so Maryland led for a portion of the second quarter. And then they, struggled to kind of keep up in that second quarter, but they made it a game. It was only a 4-point differential there. And so at any moment, they were within striking distance of getting there. And Carolina had to, I'm trying to look for the right words. I don't want to say fight for their life in this, but it was not the game they expected it to be. And I love that for Maryland. It was a transition year for them as far as kind of being in between big name recruits. And look at where they made it.
My lady for a lot of 23 points, 9 for 17 from the field, 1 for 5 from 3 with 5 rebounds and 3 assists. Maryland star Sellers, she is probably still kicking herself today because she had the crucial turnover.
Right.
That gave South Carolina the breathing room they needed to put this game away.
It did. And like you said, I know that's tough. Like, she probably is kicking herself for it, but against one of the best teams in the country, like, you were that competitive. And I know it's hard to console yourself with a moral victory, but South Carolina is tough and you played them very well.
As you can see, South Carolina did not shoot the ball particularly well, especially from 3-point range. So 27% from 3-point range, 18 turnovers.
That's that Big Ten defense.
But when you can out-rebound your opponent by 13, that helps.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely for sure.
So South Carolina, they survived Maryland to get to Elite Eight. Who would they fight against in Elite Eight? The Duke Blue Devils.
This was a much better matchup than I thought it was going to be. I expected something similar to the Maryland game, which – on paper, it's a 4-point differential. You would think it's very similar, but not at all. Look at those numbers that they were able to hold them to in the second and the third quarter. It was bleak for South Carolina there for a minute. And, obviously, it's kind of similar to the Texas matchup. When we get over there, we'll talk about it. Their Elite Eight matchup, or their Sweet 16 matchup, is real similar to this matchup, in my opinion. It was 39 minutes of hell for the top seed, and that last minute was the only time that they looked like they were in control of the game.
Problem was with Duke, when they got to the fourth quarter, they couldn't put the ball in the bucket.
Right.
That's all there was.
Well, South Carolina's conditioned to play so hard throughout all four quarters that I just did had questions on whether Duke was going to be able to keep up with that defense. And as we can see, it did affect their shooting in the fourth quarter.
They couldn't put the ball in the bucket. Simple as that. Fagan, she filled up the stat sheet. 12 points, 8 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Corey Kiss was the leading scorer with 14. But when you fill the stat sheet up like this, I got to give you the recognition.
Absolutely.
And South Carolina shot the ball better than against Maryland. But they got
that rebound. That defensive effort from Duke, when you look there at the rebound battle, 41-30. And I think that that was such a huge difference maker for Duke. They'll be back. Duke will be back.
Oh, Kellen Mawson got something going on over in Durham, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Emily Skinner is on her way to Duke. And as we saw in the McDonald's game last night, she is something really special.
So, the South Carolina Gamecocks back in the Final Four, continuing their quest to defend their crown.
Right. Like I said, I don't think it was unpredictable that they were there, but their road was not as expected.
No, it wasn't. So that was Birmingham Region 2. Let's go to Spokane Region 1. The Final Four was the top overall seed. UCLA, the second seed, NC State, the third seed, LSU, and the fifth seed, Ole Miss.
And so this is where I kind of messed up in my bracket. I thought that this matchup with Ole Miss and UCLA was a mismatch. Now, okay, obviously, you know, UCLA has Lauren Betts, and so they have size and presence and stardom there in the lane. But Ole Miss has some size there in the lane as well. And the amount of size that they have is, you know, they have 2 to 3 really tall chicks that can keep up with Lauren. And so I thought this was going to be a bit of a mismatch. And then also on guard play, Kiki hasn't looked the best this year. She's had some good games, but it hasn't been consistent. And when it comes to guard play, you know, Coach Yo knows what she's doing over there. So she's also been a part of the portal this last week, and we're going to see Ole Miss just revamp up and expect a better team next year.
UCLA comes out of this region, getting by Ole Miss and LSU, taking out 2 ACC schools. First one, the aforementioned Coach Yo and Ole Miss Rebels. Very tight contested first half, and then the third quarter.
The problem with Ole Miss, the way they're constructed this year, they're not going to outscore anybody. They're just a very tough defensive team, and it'll wear you down, their defensive style. It's very similar to the same defense that Texas plays, so it's full court press 24-7, and man-on-man. Like, they're just very tough defensively, and it can wear down and confuse and fluster the best team. However, that shooting power that's over there at UCLA, you know, Lauren Betts went off.
Yeah, 31-10 and 3 blocks.
Yeah. Not much when that's going on.
You want to know why she's part of the Wooden Award finalist? Because she has performances like that.
Right.
They got past Ole Miss shooting 60% from the field and 44% from 3-point range.
Very important right there.
When you shoot that well, you're gonna win. You're gonna win. There's no way around it.
But Yo, like I said, she hit the portal this week. She had 4 big signees, and so just portal, not recruits. So I expect Ole Miss to address their shooting issues that they had this year.
So that was the Sweet 16, and then it was the matchup with Kim Mulkey and the LSU Tigers.
This game, the first half was very flip-floppy, as you can see from the breakdown right there. LSU came out in charge more, and then in that second quarter, they slacked. UCLA put up 22 points, almost the exact same points in the third quarter, and then UCLA really put the gas on in that fourth.
This is where UCLA gets credit for me. You see the second quarter, it says 10-point difference UCLA way.
Right.
That was without Lauren Betts on the floor because she had 2 fouls.
Right.
She picked up 2 fouls in the first quarter. In the second quarter, that team came out with a purpose. And LSU, for whatever reason, did take advantage of the best player not being on the court.
Indeed. Well, I think they've had some health issues in the last 3 weeks or so. It was a physical game. We saw that, you know, Anisha got her nose busted up. It was not broken. It was busted, though. And, you know, that can affect your vision. You're in pain. There were thoughts that it was maybe broken. So it was a bad enough injury. I'm sure that it affected her during the game. And then, you know, Flage has had her health issues this season, too, towards the end of the season. So I just don't think LSU was 100%.
But Lauren Betts came back in, put up 17.7 boards and right. 6 blocks.
Right.
Nothing easy for the Tigers inside. Nothing.
Right. And they're definitely going to have to address their size mismatch this year. Like, they just didn't have that presence without Angel there.
And as you can see, better shooting for the Bruins than the Tigers. There go your difference. Better shooting, even though the Tigers held their own on the rebounding category.
They did.
But when you shoot better, when you're able to put the ball in the bucket better than the other team, you're going to win. And that's what UCLA did. So there are in the Final Four looking to do something that hasn't been done in the women's part. Bring home some titles.
Indeed. So I don't know that I think it's their year, though. We'll see.
So that was Birmingham Region 2 and Spokane Region 1. We'll talk about the other two regions after this commercial break.
Everything Boston. I love you, you morons. You kids on the block. New edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck. Matt Damon. Go f*** yourself again, Jason.
In a world where chronicles of the past are brought to the streams, whether the content is relatable or completely beyond your realm of life, there is no shadow of a doubt that this show is absolutely full of shenanigans. Get ready for
D. Willy in the Evening
this Sunday at 10:05 p.m. Eastern,
exclusively on Sertoba Media. Where the struggle is real to be awesome.
Shop hats and official sports gear at Lids. Lids is the leader and number one destination for hats, gears, and everything that moves you, making it the perfect shop for fans to find official sports hats, merchandise, and gear. Represent your team, your town, and your style with a snapback adjustable fitted hat or beanie from thousands of college and pro teams. Browse the very latest sports jerseys and t-shirts from the best teams out there. Lids has officially licensed professional and college sport team apparel and hats featuring the hottest brands and trends. Shop online or visit one of the 100 stores across the country. Locker Rooms by Lids.
All right, welcome back. We got our first two combatants that are in Temple. We got two more spots remaining. Let's go to Birmingham 3 region. Top seeded Texas Longhorns, 2 seeded TCU Horned Frost, the 3 seed Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and the 5th seed, the Lady Volunteers of Tennessee. Who came out of this region? Megan Preston, I'll let you do it.
I have to say the Texas matchup, the Texas-Tennessee matchup, the Sweet 16, that was probably the matchup that I was most worried about. Even after round one, I was sitting there looking at the possibility of having to match up with Tennessee, and it was something that I was nervous for the entire week. Like, there was a ton of anxiety for me. You know, we had several matchups on Friday, and of course the Texas matchup was on Saturday, and we knew what it was going to be. We knew we were going to be in substitution hell because that's what Kim Caldwell does. She leads D1 in substitutions, and a minute 45 hit and she subbed out 4 players. And then a couple minutes later, she substitute five out. And by the time halftime hit, we had already had 64 substitutions from Tennessee. I mean, just
She's so smart.
As a Texas fan, I don't ever want to play her again. And I know we're going to have to, because she got her extension. And when I say out of respect, because she's so good at what she does, having to play her is hell.
I'm just saying, Texas held their own. They was not afraid of the substitutions.
The score's not very indicative of what the hell that they put us through, because we didn't really get more than 4 points ahead until that fourth quarter, or really that last minute is when I knew, like, okay, Texas got this. When we hit that 6 points, the 6 point differential mark, and I was like, all right, we got this. And there was like 30 seconds left. But the rest of the entire game, those 39 minutes, that was hell. They played the heck out of us. But we knew it was coming, because that's exactly how that first matchup was.
You know why your ladies won this game? Your guards became dogs.
Very true. No, Rory played really, really well. And I will say this, the game momentum changer was actually one of our freshmen, Preston. And she came in with a big steal, and then she made a layup. And it was such a momentum changer in that last minute that, you know, I just have to shout out the freshmen that we had, Lee and Preston. Both of them had a big impact in this matchup.
They played like dogs in this
game. Yes, they did. They absolutely did.
I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, they played tough. This was one of those games that I was like, oh, man, I need a smoke break. I'm nervous.
Shout out to Victor, aka VLock83. What's up, man? Thank you for joining and watching. Madison Booker was, of course, the star of the game. 17.6 for 15 from the field, 6 boys, 3 assists. But Preston, not only with the steal, she drew, let me think, I want to say 3 offensive fouls in our fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that girl's getting down with it.
She definitely put her body out there in motion to draw the foul. And she really, really changed the momentum for us, because Tennessee was starting to catch right back up. And as we know, like, they subbed them out. Fresh legs right there. So that's how it was with Tennessee.
Gotta love what Texas did. Like I said earlier, when you shoot 47%, 43% from the field, I like your chances of winning.
Right. And I think that's really where we won it, is because obviously we didn't win the turnover battle, we won the turnover battle, but we didn't win the rebounds. And that's usually where we win games, because our shooting hasn't been great this year. But Tennessee is such a hot 3-point shooting team, on top of being such a tough defensive team as well, that being able to hold them to under 20% at the 3, I think that's where we won that ball game.
You can't live by the 3, you die by the 3.
Right.
The Lady Vols died by the 3 on this one, just like the men's Alabama team. But that was the Sweet 16, Elite 8. It was the Battle of the Texas.
TCU. Right, and so TCU against Notre Dame went pretty much how I thought it was going to go. Notre Dame hadn't looked like themselves the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks of the regular season, and then at the ACC tournament, they didn't quite look like themselves either. Haley Van Lith just really came alive in that matchup. And then so going into this matchup, Haley had like 24 points against Notre Dame, I think. We held her to 17, I believe. But the biggest mismatch difference here was we frustrated their center so much that she fouled out with 6 left in the fourth.
Prince fouled out. Couldn't get no traction in the game.
And I had a feeling it was going to go that way, because Taylor Jones and Kyla Oldaker are centers. They play really well together. So when one is having a better game, the other one transitions to the bench just fine. It doesn't matter if you're the starter. That's not how they work together. And sometimes you'll see them both on the court at the same time. So size-wise, I knew we had this, just because Sedona, she's the type that she can play dirty sometimes. And so when she plays like that, you can frustrate her. And that's what we did. And she fouled out.
She fouled out Madison Booker yet again. 18 points, 8 for 17 from the field, 6 boards.
Tessie, this matchup, though, it was like Rory was hot in the first half, and she had 11 points in the first half, and then she finished the game with 13 points. So obviously her shot cooled down in the second half, but Maddie, she only had 4 points in the first half, and then she ended up getting 14 points in the second half. And so for them to be able to switch off like that and realize, like, okay, her shot's not falling, we're going to switch over to Madison. Madison's going to really run the shooting for us. I liked seeing that transition there, because shooting woes have been Texas's problem the entire season.
Shout out to TCU. First time ever winning the Big 12 title. Mm-hmm. Basketball, period.
Right.
The regular season and the conference tournament. First time ever getting to the Elite Eight. This is the farthest a TCU program has ever been in basketball.
Right.
This is a story year for TCU, and it was led by Haley Van Lith, by the way. I'm looking forward to
what she was a great fit there at TCU. It was more than just Haley out there, because, I mean, they also had the top 3-point shooter in the league this year in Connor, I believe is her name. And we held her to 9 points. And so to be able to hold the best 3-point shooter to that, I think that's where Texas has to capitalize in the next matchup, which I'm sure we'll get there. But defense is where, when you know your niche and you know who you are this year, because that's what we are. We're a defensive team. I think that's where you have to go and dominate, because you know your shot's not going to fall. It's not going to magically change in one game. So you gotta amplify and get on the gas on what you do best, and that's defense.
So the Texas Longhorns, as you can see, 67% from 3.
But we don't shoot many 3s, and so I think that stat is a little misleading, because we don't shoot many 3s. What was the 3-point attempts? I would like to know that.
Well, we're going to do live research then.
Because we don't take many threes.
I didn't even look at that when I put it together. I didn't even look at it. Like,
we don't make
67% from 3-point range. Wait a minute.
Yeah, and they probably shot, I don't know, maybe 5 3-point attempts.
Well, you know, that number is ridiculous there.
Man, I'm telling you, we didn't shoot that many.
I gotta dive in now.
So they beat us on the rebounds, though, 38-34. an area where I think we're going to have to capitalize in the next matchup as well is turnovers, where we only had 8 turnovers, TCU had 21, and that's what I'm hoping we can do against South Carolina as well.
Okay. 2
out of 3. 2 out of 3. Yeah, that's what I thought. We don't shoot that many 3s. 2 out of 3.
Hey, you pick your moments. I can't be mad at that.
As long as they go in, all right. Just know your
moments. You're like, you know what? This is an open shot. I'm gonna take this one.
And as soon as that one didn't go in, they got off the 3-point.
you pick your moments. I can't be mad at that.
Right.
But welcome to Temple, and welcome to the Final Four, Texas Longhorns.
Oh man, 22-year drought done with. So I don't know what the rest of our road is going to be going forward, because we got to face South Carolina. But regardless, I actually think that is probably our best matchup out of the ones that are making it to the Final Four, because this is going to be the 4th time that we've seen this matchup this season. South Carolina is ahead currently 2-1. Texas has won 1 of the games out of this, but it was a home game for them. And I do think that made a difference. However, we all know it's hard to beat a team 3 times in 1 season. So we'll see.
It's hard to beat a team. Well, I'm going to say
it is hard to beat a team 3 times. Now they've matched up 3 times.
I'm going to say when I get to that matchup, because I said something I have been proving to be correct. Okay. I'm just gonna say that. Yeah, 1 region left. Okay. Spokane 4 region. Top seed USC Trojans without Juju Watkins.
Right.
The 2 seed and who I call the most dangerous and scariest team in the tournament, the UConn Huskies.
Absolutely.
The 3 seed, the Oklahoma Sooners. And then the 5th seed, Kansas State. Of course, I said the most dangerous and scariest team in the tournament will be the ones that get out of the region.
Right. Absolutely.
Which is the doom of everybody right now. No, people are not wanting to see you come back in the spot they've been in.
It wouldn't bother me to see UConn there. So this is obviously their 24th Final Four appearance. 24th. Yeah, that's insane.
How did they get there where they beat Oklahoma? They destroyed Oklahoma, by the way.
So, okay, hold on. On the Oklahoma game, though, go to that box score right there, that breakdown, and you see it didn't happen until the second half. Oklahoma led this game until the third quarter. And so I'm really hopeful about what OU has going on next season, because Beers, their center, is going to have another year. And then they also got the number one recruit in the country, Aaliyah Chavez, signed with them. So more what I was doing in this matchup was imagining Aaliyah there in that rotation than I really was concerned about winning, because we knew they weren't going to beat UConn. So they struggled.
We knew they weren't going to win, but Paige decided to go off. Like,
yeah, she had 40 points. And I was actually talking with someone as the game started, and Paige, she had already had like 11 points in the first quarter. So it's not that it all happened in the second quarter. She just wasn't playing defense in that first half.
And that's why she got pissed.
Yeah. And so I said something to somebody that I was talking to, and I was like, 40 point game for Paige incoming. And sure enough, 40 points.
She got benched. Geno benched her because she led a three-point shot. She didn't contest a three-point shot that went in.
I don't know that that was the wrong move. You know, I prefer for them to keep things in the locker room, but it's the tournament, and you have to make that decision at that moment in game time, so I'm not mad at it.
You want to know why Geno Auriemma is going to his 24th Final Four? Because he don't mind benching his star players when they mess up on the court.
Exactly.
You come over here on the bench, we're going to talk about what you didn't do, not what you did, what you didn't do, so we can correct it when you get back in the game.
He's crazy. After the game, they were interviewing him right away before they even did the presser. So it was like before he went to the locker room. And he was like, oh, yeah, she had 40 points. Didn't even know.
He did say this is the most she ever shot, because she took 27 shots. I've never seen Paige take that many shots.
Right.
Paige is usually around the 10, 12 mark.
Right.
Paige is not a volume shooter, but she shot the heck out of that damn ball.
She did. You
know? And then she decided, you know, I can get rebounds and get some steals too while I'm at it.
The only concerning part of this matchup, or not this matchup, but the next matchup when we get over there, was Azzy. So when we get to the next matchup, I'll bring it up.
As you can see, the statistics right here in. One thing about UConn, you will never see 23 turnovers coming from UConn. I can tell you,
that. Never.
Geno would lose his mind if his team was turning the ball over ridiculously. Right. Okay. And then it was the matchup everybody wanted to see.
Right.
And then felt bad because of what happened to Juju in the round of 32.
Right. And I don't know that UConn wins this matchup with Juju on the court. You know, this was – I don't think the score is necessarily indicative, or it should have been more. UConn should have won by more, I feel like, and really sent a message going into the Final Four. I was expecting them to be more dominant than what they were.
UConn struggled. So UConn had problems putting the ball in the bucket outside of Sarah Strong in the first half.
Right. All right. And so, you know, Azzy came up flat. And then, you know, luckily Chin had a decent game and she's in your starting lineup. But they don't have much of a bench whatsoever. So that's the scary part for UConn. And that's where you would have to maybe be able to pick away at that mismatch. There is, they don't have a bench. They got like one player coming off the bench. That's it. Maybe two.
So Sarah Strong, 22 points, 8 from 13 from the field, 4 from 6 from 3-point range, which I did not have on my bingo card. Oh, Sarah Strong shooting threes. I didn't see that coming. And then while she's shooting threes, she still was able to grab 17 rebounds.
And 4 steals. I think that's huge, too. You know, if it wasn't for the young lady, the freshman that had the two 50-point games, I'm trying to remember her name, then then Sarah would have got freshman of the year, but she's not gonna get it.
I mean, Kiki Irifant had she couldn't handle Sarah. That was the problem. I thought Kiki was gonna show up, but she could not handle Sarah.
Indeed.
And then Paige did. The fact that Gino Arias has been in the game for so long, and he has so many great players, and Paige Beck has done something that no Connecticut player has done, is very surprising to me. 31 points, 9 for 18 from the field, 4 from 8 from 3-point range, 3 boards, 6 assists, and 2 blocks. That is her third straight 30-point game.
Yeah, that's insane. Diana
Taurasi didn't do it. Sue Bird didn't do it. Maya Moore didn't do it. Breonna Stewart didn't do it.
Yeah, it's late in March that she's doing that, too. So it's not like she's doing this against unranked teams in the Big East, you know, like she's doing this in the big tournament. And I'm incredibly critical of them still being in the Big East. So, man, she's showing out.
Paige is on a mission. And this guy right here, the money shifter, Cole Johnson.
Yes, indeed.
Cole Johnson, he feels some type of way.
Yeah, I felt really bad for the Mississippi State girls as well, because it was the same player who was involved in Ashlyn Watkins' injury as well. And on the Juju one, that. There was no contact. Like it was a no about this contact.
Last week. Like y'all leave Mississippi State alone.
Right. No, you can clearly see with the Juju one. It's been a while since I watched the clip with Ashlyn. But you could tell it wasn't intentional. I don't know if there was any contact. But in the one with Juju, there was no contact. She didn't even touch her. Some of those young ladies have had to turn their social media off. So while we feel bad for Juju, too, I just think, you know, also kind of shout out those girls from Mississippi State, because there's some weirdos online.
Oh, you know, you didn't you nail this, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all leave Mississippi State alone, okay?
It was not a dirty play. Neither one.
And it's coming from a guy whose favorite player is Juju Watkins.
Right.
So, UConn back into the Final Four. As you see, 45% from the field, 45% from three-point range. And that's after they had a bad first quarter.
Right.
And they did that.
Oh, I think UConn is on a mission. And it's not just because it's Paige's final year. I think we are seeing Gino's final year.
You think this is Gino or Emma's final year?
I do. Yeah, absolutely. Whenever they were in their region still. So for the first, they hosted for the first two rounds, right? And after the last game in their region, you know, Paige does her last press conference for UConn. She's been saying goodbye to the press. The camera pans over to Gino, and he can't talk because he's in tears. And it was not just like in awe of Paige. It was like, you remember when Drew Brees was walking out of the stadium after talking to Tom Brady, and he turned back and he looked at the Superdome one more time? That was that look on Gino's face.
I'm thinking differently that the fact because AZ Fuzz says she's coming back. I'm like, oh, Lord.
I think win or lose, he's done.
I'm like, Gino ain't going nowhere.
His longtime assistant probably takes over.
I was sitting here like, oh, Lord, Gino ain't going nowhere. AZ Fuzz coming back. And then he got one of the best freshmen in Sarah Strong. Oh, great. UConn ain't going nowhere no time soon. You got to keep doing with this.
I'm telling you, keep an eye on Gino. Watch his manner.
You just dropped a major bombshell right there. You think Gino's hanging it up? Oh, my gosh.
I really do.
Okay. Didn't see that coming. But, yes, UConn is back in the Final Four here. And Cole Johnson, don't go anywhere, because after this commercial break, you're going to be cussing. You're going to be cussing, sir. We'll be back.
Join the transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the reformer of hooker whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the bronze car.
Whenever you are in distress, take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color crayon they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to I can beat up black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central. No, Pacific time zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. Oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC.
Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role, and I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already, you know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much, and you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime.
Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, the World Cup is in not one, not two, but three countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
All right, welcome back, and I'm going to have me some little fun. Cole Johnson, if you're watching, I got some news for you, sir. So here is the Shooting Lights Out Women's Tournament Challenge. Guess who's on top?
Oh, no surprise. No surprise.
I am leading, which I was not leading at all until how the Elite Eight went. Once the Elite Eight went the way that it went, I jumped in front.
See? Oh, man. Waiting for his comment.
Cole Johnson is sitting there tied for third, but unfortunately, because I didn't pay attention to this throughout the entire thing, that they have a forecast part for, so they can tell you who has a chance of winning the bracket.
Oh, uh-huh.
Cole Johnson, you have no chance of winning. You at 0%.
Sorry. Oh, no.
You're done. You're done. I'm sorry. I looked at it before we started. So I was like, I never knew this was in here.
Look, at least you're on the list.
Cole Johnson has no chance of winning.
Oh, man.
Unlike the men, he still has a chance. In the women, he's done. The reason why Cole Johnson is done, he had USC in the national championship game.
Which, and I think there's probably a lot of people have that same problem.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Just saying. Yeah, UConn knocking out USC took you all the way out. You're done, sir. Sorry to tell you, but you're done. It is between myself, Grand Long's 2021 picks, and somehow this person right here in sixth place, 954 collection picks. We are the three that have the chance of winning. And the reason why is because, just like the men.
Did I not join?
Nope, you did not join.
I'm so sorry. I could have sworn I did.
I don't know what you was doing, but you didn't make it in time.
I'm so sorry. I could have sworn I joined.
And I sent reminders ahead of time too.
You did. I'm so sorry.
But just like the men, your boy got the entire Final Four correctly.
Same. I on the men's and the women's, I will say that while, yes, you know, pat ourselves on the back, it was almost all chalk. So not necessarily the hot takes that it would be in years prior.
So, hey, I'll make for eight in Final Fours.
Right. What
and,
about...
And the thing is, this is me picking it while Juju was healthy.
Right. No, like, same. Me too.
The way I look at UConn now, yeah, I'm gonna do the opposite of what I used to do to Tom Brady. I'm not betting against Geno. I'm not doing it. Nope, not doing it.
Well, I have Texas and UConn in my final. Obviously, I went with my own team. However, I do see a UConn-South Carolina final very probable. I would lean towards UConn in that matchup, but I'm not going to sit there and give an official winner that's not my team, so hook them.
Hey, this is the opportunity where you can actually pick your team and it doesn't seem biased.
Right, yeah. I usually put my team on my chaos bracket, and I didn't even do a chaos bracket this year because I thought we had a real chance to win. So I did one bracket, my integrity bracket. That's it.
So you have so this is the one year you can do that. Same thing with my Florida Gators on the men's side.
Right.
I don't have to be biased and picking Florida. I can feel confidence in picking Florida.
I picked Duke, but it's Florida versus Duke is what I have. And then I took Duke to win it. But in my chaos bracket, I picked Tech to win.
Really?
We see how it went.
You don't pick Tech.
I don't like them. I just picked them.
I saw that I was eliminated Monday night. So you knew you was done. Well, so that's why you didn't want to crash the party. Because you knew I was going to come get you. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's not happy with me right now because... If I was to show you the lead in the one in the men's is ridiculously. I am leading by much.
Oh no.
I'm in the 1100 point tile and everybody else ain't even touched 1,000.
I'm sad I didn't join. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I am on one on the men's side and he couldn't stand it. Go back and watch Monday's show. Oh, he can't stand it.
I will.
He can't stand it. Farrell, I've been waiting for this guy to come in here. Well, they can look for revenge, but didn't I warn you about UConn? I told you about UConn, but you didn't want to listen to me.
And I'm telling you, those girls are playing for something other than Paige's last year. This is Geno's last year. UConn's going to win. I didn't just say that. Texas.
And here the thing is, and people have been pointing this out on social media, which is kind of funny, is South Carolina... And the only three teams that beat them this year.
It is indeed. I noticed that as well. I think that shows you how good South Carolina is and what it takes to be in the Final Four. And nobody was going to win lossless this year.
What the hell, guy? Let's see. South Carolina beating UConn. Florida over Duke. Well, I guess we agree on the men's side. Florida beating Duke. We finally agree on something. And this is Coach Johnson saying ever since Monday, Sunday. Cause he is not thrilled that I'm leading in both of my sides.
That's funny.
Hey, what you expect, man? I am basketball aficionado. I paid attention. I paid attention with my eyes. I looked and see what my eyes told me. This is the reason why I didn't pick Juju.
Right.
I said, my eyes say UConn is in that region. Great. Now I got to pick against Juju, and I really don't want to.
Right.
This is where we are at.
Indeed.
Final Four is set. First matchup on Friday, 7 p.m. Both games on ESPN. Round 4. Texas. Versus the defending champ, South Carolina.
I can't believe we're seeing this for a fourth time this year.
Now, I hear your thoughts earlier when you said it's hard to beat a team three times.
It is. And so I think that
here's my pushback.
Go ahead.
You don't get Dawn Staley twice.
I said that going into the
SEC championship game when it was SC and Texas. You don't get Dawn Staley twice, and sure enough, South Carolina responded very vividly.
But it's very rare that we get the fourth matchup. And I just feel like that works in our favor. I'm hoping. Yeah. I'm hoping. Where I see obviously they're better shooters than we are. They've and their shooting has struggled in the last couple of matchups. You showed that, especially the Sweet 16 matchup. They struggled some with their shooting. But where I think we have to get on the gas is I saw in the Elite Eight matchup against TCU, there was a little, a couple of holes in the lane where I was wondering, like, where was Winitondo? Where was Maddie on the coverage? And so, like I was saying earlier, I think you have to go all in on what you do best. And that for us is play defense. And so seeing a couple of areas on the defensive side of things of, okay, that's where we're going to have to fix it, because it's not going to come from our shooting. It hasn't come from our shooting all year.
Yeah. I was not gloating, sir. I was stating that I went 8-for-8, but it's surprising for me because I don't go 8-for-8 in Final Four picks. Usually I lose about two, if not three Final Four picks by the time we get to the Elite Eight.
It was a year of all chalk.
I went, for once, I was like, you know what? I'm going to trust my eyes, and I got the eight teams correctly.
Cole said the Longhorns have to be more physical on the boards. I know, I agree. I think that the only way we're going to win that matchup is, or the two areas, it's turnovers and boards. That's where we have to win. And as far as the other matchup,
if y'all can't turn South Carolina over, I don't like Texas chances.
Agreed.
You need extra possessions.
Agreed. Because we're not going to outscore them.
You're going to need extra possessions.
No, I agree with that.
And another thing for me is your point guards play like dogs again.
Mm-hmm. It has to go down to that.
Try to force some offensive fouls.
And Rory and Preston are both very good at that. We saw that there's a little discourse on the guard play over there in South Carolina. We see a lot of people that are wanting Malaysia to play more minutes, but in the Elite Eight matchup, she wasn't looking great. And then Pau Pau's been having some shooting issues as well. So that's where I'm hoping that we can just pick away at their offense.
Cole Johnson agrees with me. If the Longhorns lose the turnover, but it's going to be a long night.
No, I agree. Completely agree.
And Madison Booker, this is the game where you make a name for yourself.
Agreed.
This is the game right here.
Cannot go cold. It's okay. It's okay if it goes cold in the first half or the second half, and then either Rory or somebody else can fill in on the shooting side of things, but it can't be the entire game. Y'all both can't go cold, and we've seen it happen.
This is where the stars show up.
Agreed.
It's the Final Four.
I will say, I think that we have a little bit of an edge with our bench play, momentum-wise. I think that they probably, on paper, have the better bench, but right now, our freshmen are playing great. Right now, Oldeker coming off the bench is rotating really, really well. So I like our bench play.
So I'm just throwing some keys out there for Texas. If you want to dethrone the champs, like I said, this is going to be your most hardest game to date.
Right.
Forget about the SEC championship game.
This is
a do or die.
Right.
And when it's do or die and you face the champs going to take every punch that you're going to throw. Agreed. And they're going to ask you, can you respond when we throw our punches?
Right.
Because they've been here. They've done it. Can Texas respond when South Carolina says, all right, we see you, but now can you take our punches?
Right. Indeed.
It's hard to knock out a champion.
It is. I'm definitely not looking at it like it's an easy task. It's going to be something where we just pick away at them, and it would only be a 2 to 3 point differential, maybe.
That's game one. Game two, 9 p.m. ESPN. UConn, the overall top seed, UCLA.
UCLA is going to have to capitalize on the size mismatch because the guard play is nowhere near the same level as what's going
and
on.
And there goes my key to the game. Kiki! Are you going to show up? Because guess what? I don't see AZ Fudd having another bad game back-to-back. That just doesn't happen to AZ Fudd. And Paige Beckers is on a scoring tear right now. And then don't forget about Sarah Strong, who's just a freshman. And just like, she only played like a freshman. She plays like
she does not play like a freshman. I want to respond to that comment. It says, Cole said the Lady Gamecocks have the experience when it counts the most on the sideline with Dawn Staley. Yes, they do. But let's not forget that Vic Schaefer led Mississippi State to a championship as well. So it's not that there isn't any championship pedigree over in Texas. It's just yet to be proven.
What Cole says, somebody's going to have to slow down the UCLA UConn game. Farrell says UConn will put Kiki Rice on the gates. If Kiki don't show up for UCLA along with Lauren Betts, it might be a long day for UCLA in the top seed.
I agree. Yeah, I don't think this is going to be – this is a really bad matchup for UCLA, in my opinion. Guard play from UConn is going to have UCLA in hell.
If UCLA, you going to need Kiki to play, because if she don't show up, and don't let AZ Flood get hot, because Paige Baker have no problem saying, hey, I don't need to shoot. AZ Flood got it. I'm good. Because she did against South Carolina. AZ Flood got hot. Paige Baker was like, I don't need to shoot. Give it to her. Let her continue to get hot.
Right.
And it's a flip-flop, too. Paige Baker's on. AZ Flood ain't trying. Give it to Paige. She hot.
Right.
So, it's pick your poison when it comes to the UConn Huskies. Which one going off and which one doesn't go off? Can you stop the other one?
Agreed.
Lauren Betts, you got the size advantage. But Sarah Strong, you ain't, I don't think you can be able to move Sarah Strong. I'm sorry. Her last name is Strong for a reason.
Well. Yeah, she's playing incredibly well. Like I said, if it hadn't been for the young lady that had the two 50-point games as a freshman, then Sarah Strong would absolutely be given Freshman of the Year. But it's not going to happen. However, she absolutely played like Freshman of the Year.
So, to Cole Johnson dismay, he's pulling for the Bruins so hard right now. He's pulling so hard for the Bruins to knock off UConn.
Yeah.
Of course, he's picking Texas because both of y'all Longhorn friends, but like I said, you don't get Dawn Staley twice. You beat her once.
Right.
I don't think she take too kind of getting beat once.
No. And like you said, I don't think you best Dawn Staley twice, but I think Texas is going to go in there and give it everything they have. I don't know if it can happen. I'm just hopeful. I think there's some areas where I think South Carolina looks a little human. If they're worn down from the journey here, because it was hard. It was hard fought, that, especially that Duke game. I feel like that Duke game took a lot out of them. Obviously, they have the same amount of time of rest and practice to get there that all the other teams do. So not that they're going to be coming into the situation worn down more than anybody else, but those games were tough. So we'll see. I could very well see a UConn-South Carolina final, but I'm picking Texas.
As y'all saw my break, I got UConn and South Carolina meeting in the national championship game. I feel pretty good about my road to the Final Four thus far.
Yeah, I can see it happening. Definitely can.
And by the way, even though I say you don't best Dawn Staley twice, I probably the only person in the team that probably would do it would be UConn.
Right, maybe. We'll see.
Because of some reason.
That is crazy that it, regardless of whatever happens, it's got to come from a team beating South Carolina twice.
Yeah.
No matter what team does it.
The only team I can see doing it is UConn and Jim Arima.
Right.
That man won 12 titles for a reason.
Indeed.
And Paige trying to go out as a champion.
She is.
She's trying to go out as a champion, okay? I hope y'all know that.
I agree.
That's the one thing she's missing.
Absolutely.
Now, before I get out of here, news has been circling around the WNBA for a lot of different things. One of the main things is one, Caitlin Clark. This whole notion that she's the face of the WNBA for a whole bunch of different reasons, depending on what side that you're on.
Right.
if you're on the Caitlin Carr side, is she's the Steph Curry of the WNBA. If you're on the non-Caitlin Carr side, she's white. I've thought about this long and hard. And Cole, I want to hear your input along with Megan. I thought about this long and hard. I'm like, why is Caitlin Carr so popular? Because, by the way, that puts him in Paige Becker spots, but she got injured.
Right, yeah.
And I thought, I said, you know what? Maybe her being white has something to do with it. But now that I'm thinking about it, I looked at Paige and I'm looking at the WNBA. I'm saying, hold on. Maybe it's because she didn't play at UConn. Anybody think about that? Think about it.
That is a good point.
Diana Taurasi, who people call the GOAT, was not the face of the WNBA like this.
Well, I mean, she was. I mean, it's questionable on whether she was the logo or not.
I'm talking about the way that Caitlin Clark is like everywhere. It went Diana Taurasi. Sue Bird. Breonna Stewart, like the only person that I have watched win championships in all 4 years of college. She didn't get love like this, like Caitlin Clark has.
Right.
Maya Moore, who I consider my GOAT of women's basketball, because what Maya Moore did, you cannot deny.
Right.
You know, the thing is, all four of them played on the Gino-Rama.
Right.
All four of them are champions.
That's true.
In college and professional.
Right.
Caitlin Clark.
But imagine Caitlin playing on a team of the caliber of what UConn had going on, because they didn't have, you know, what Iowa had was, you know, they had Stuckey, but she's not. She's not a standout center.
That's
they had
my Kate point. Martin, when you look at Caitlin Clark, you say, you know what, that girl can play ball, and she didn't went to UConn. She didn't go to UConn, so she's not from that pedigree, of royalty in college basketball. She came from Iowa. Who the heck is Iowa when it comes to women's basketball?
Right, right. Agree. No, I think that's a good point. That could be part of the reason. And I think that that's part of the reason why we saw Leah Chavez choose OU over South Carolina, Texas, and Texas Tech was, you know, in order to break records, you got to be a big fish in a small pond. And that's not going to happen at UConn, and that's not going to happen at South Carolina. And when Texas decided to give Rory an extra redshirt year, it became apparent that Aaliyah was not going to start, because one thing about Vic is he's fiercely loyal. So knowing that Rory's going to be back next year, she's going to have that starting position because she's already given us her knees and her whole career at Texas, you know? So she's going to be the starter. But if you want to break records and that's important to you, starting minutes is going to be important. So, you know, I think she chose a place where she could be a star and be the star to put up those type of numbers. And Caitlin probably did that too. Iowa is home for her. OU is not that far from Aaliyah, and you can still be the superstar of the program. I think that's probably what led to that. And I agree with that last statement. A lot.
I'm just saying, because I had to think about it. Because, you know, when it first came out and people were really talking about it, I wasn't really doing my thinking. I sat back and thought, I'm like, you know what? Let me think of all the great players that played in the WNBA. Most of them went to UConn.
Right.
That's a common denominator.
Right.
Caitlin Carr did not go to UConn.
Right, yeah.
So let me throw that in there. She didn't go to UConn. She went to Iowa. She bought a Midwest team to prominence in college basketball.
Absolutely. And Aaliyah will probably do the same thing. I think she can lead them maybe to a Final Four there at OU. I don't think they'll ever win, but she could break records. I don't know that she's going to break Caitlin's record, but
think about it. Juju Watkins played for the USC Trojans. USC Trojans have not been popular in women's basketball since Cheryl Miller.
Agreed.
How long ago are we talking?
Right.
I'm starting to believe that these ladies that are being named, think about it. You got Caitlin Clark, you got Angel Reese. None of them went to UConn. They ain't go to Tennessee either.
Right.
You got Juju. You got Hannah Hidalgo. You got Fly J Johnson.
The thing about Notre Dame, though, which is why this whole fallout is such a shock as UConn, or not UConn, Notre Dame has been guard U for 15 years. Like, they've been the school that puts out some of the best guards in the country. You know, you got Skylar, you got all the Mabry sisters. Jewel Lloyd came out of there. Obviously, Hannah's there. Liv was there. Like, there's some big names that have come out of Notre Dame as far as guards. So for them to be included in that is kind of strange.
It is. So I'm just saying, maybe it's because they didn't come from the blue blood programs of the women's
maybe school. So.
And it's like, we get to see other people shine in different places now.
Right. That could be a reason.
I'm starting to believe that's one of the reasons why Caitlin Clark is getting the notoriety that she's getting.
Right.
She's able to play the game that she plays, which is electrifying. And she didn't do it at UConn. She was able to do it somewhere else. Uh-huh. But you had to be the person.
And Cole's last statement, too, I think that's important as well. We didn't have that type of rivalry in the W. I mean, we've had New York versus somebody for a long time. You know, New York had to face up against Houston in the first four times that they played in the finals. So while they were a good team, they just ran up against maybe the best team of all time. And since then, you know, we've had the rivalry with New York and Vegas, but they needed this big time rivalry to ignite that popularity. And the same thing happened in the NBA. When they started making money is when Magic and Larry were going at it head to head all the time. People do love Cinderella stories. But I will say this, while we love Cinderella stories, the ratings go down when those perennial teams are not in the finals or at that stage. For example, when the World Series was the Texas Rangers and the Diamondbacks most recently, it had low viewership because it was Cinderella teams, so the market was smaller.
I'm just saying. I just want to throw an extra thing in there that people might not have thought about.
Right. No, I hadn't thought about that.
Maybe because she didn't go to UConn. I mean, right. And you got to see a different program shine. And it didn't come from Gino or Emma.
Right.
And matter of fact, Gino Arim actually pays beggars over Caitlin Clark, which allowed that to happen.
Right.
He didn't make a bad choice, to be honest with you, though. It pays when the guy hurt. It would have been paid. It would have been paid to pays beggars show.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But just saying, as you're starting to see the name starting to evolve and people starting to notice women's basketball, they're not at UConn. They are spread it out now.
Mm-hmm. It is. There's lots of parity.
And it's making women's college basketball more exciting.
It is.
And then when they go to the W, now you get to look at it and be like, oh yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
And watching the All-American game last night too, I see a ton of talent that's on the way. So, you know, while we're talking about how good these ladies are playing in NCAA right now, it's going to get better next year too.
That's all I'm saying. Just want to add something to the little conversation, because it's either been she's electrifying or she's white. Because I had to think about it. You know, I am a New York.
I do think that exists. Of course, the great white hope narrative. I do think that exists. So.
It exists, but I'm like,
I don't want to sit there and
more. It had to be more than just that. True. Something don't add up right. You got Dana DeRozan, you got Sue Bird, you got Breonna Stewart. Hey, right. You even got Sabrina, who was the one who went against Steph Curry in the 3-point contest.
Right, agreed.
I mean, you got all these like great players, and they didn't get this type of attention that Caitlin Clark gets. So it can't be a fact she's just white. It has to be more to it.
Okay.
It just has to be more. And I thought about my. That's a good point. Literally three of the people out his name went to UConn. Interesting. And they all won championships, though.
Right. They did.
Caitlin Clark
didn't. One of them, the winningest of all time.
Pretty much. Caitlin Clark has not won a championship.
She has not, but I don't want to take away what she did at Iowa like it was.
No, I'm not taking away. I'm just saying.
You know, like, because I've seen some people do that where saying, like, that she's not the greatest college basketball player of all time. And I get that because winning does matter. And I'm, you know, I'm a Spurs fan. So I definitely think that, you know, five championships is more than one, you know, speaking to the Dallas Mavericks, you know. But however, winning does matter. But what she did at Iowa was significant. And so for me, it does put her close to the top five, maybe not in the top five, but close to it.
I agree with my boy Dreading, and I went to listen to his top five, and I agree with him. Without putting down Caitlin Clark, if you're going to make a top five of all time, championships matter because that's why you play.
Right.
The ultimate goal is winning championships. So yeah, how can you consider yourself one of the GOATs if you never won? Think about the NBA. Why is Charles Barkley not mentioned in the GOAT conversation? Why is Karl Malone not mentioned in the GOAT conversation? You know why? They never won a title. That's Jordan's fault. That's Michael Jordan's fault, who is in the conversation of being the GOAT. When you win titles, your name gets cemented forever.
I like what Cole just said. You know, Larry didn't win the national champion in college, but he was still one of the greatest players in college. And I think that still comes into effect with Caitlin because she made the championship game. She made the Final Four a couple of times. Like, it's not that she wasn't in one of the top teams in the country, but it wasn't to the same level. They didn't have a system of what South Carolina or LSU or UConn has. Like, they had Caitlin and they had Kate Martin. That's what they had.
Pretty much. So
I mean, what she did is still very incredible. I think she's got to be in a top 10. I can understand not top five because championships matter. But what she did there at Iowa was significant because it's Iowa, y'all. She took Iowa to the championship.
Twice, by the way.
Right.
Just having to run into two SEC schools.
That's what I'm saying. Like, all she had was Kate Martin, y'all, and then Stuckey. That was it.
When you talk to basketball aficionados, Bill, what's this in the conversation? Yeah, the fact that the only problem is we got so many people who think they know the game of basketball, they only look at Michael Jordan and LeBron James.
Right, yeah.
But real basketball people, they bring up Wilt Chamberlain, they bring up Bill Russell, they bring up Kobe Bryant.
For sure. I think you got to throw Kareem in there.
So, that's all I'm saying. We want to have an educated conversation around Caitlin Clark and her popularity. I believe it's more than her just being white. I'm not saying white. Her being white doesn't have a part in it, but I think it's more to it than just that. Because I just gave you three GOATs that are white that played in the WNBA did not have this kind of popularity.
Right.
And the common denominator is outside them winning championships in college basketball, they all went to UConn.
Right.
You can look at Caitlin Clark, you can look at Angel Reese, and you can look at them, you say, you know what? I like these two. What they have in common, they played against each other numerous times. And Caitlin Clark is leading the rivalry. And plus, they didn't go to a blue blood program. LSU is not a blue blood program in the women's college game.
Right.
Iowa's not a blue blood in the women's college game.
Certainly not. Like Cole said, Iowa's nothing before Caitlin. I mean, that's why I said it's Iowa, y'all. Like, she took them so far, like, even though they didn't win, and I am not one of the corn people. I'm not one of those irrational Caitlin Clark fans whatsoever, but I don't think you can deny what she did either.
That's all. That's all I'm saying. Anything you want to add?
Hook 'em. I just got to throw it in one last time.
You and Cole Johnson finna be terrified Friday.
Oh, thank you.
y'all finna have high blood pressure the whole nine watching.
I'm not even gonna trip out about this one like I did with Tennessee because I knew what Tennessee was gonna bring. I feel okay about this matchup. I really do. Like, it's either you're gonna win it or you're gonna lose it. That's it. That's all.
Coach, I'm a coach.
As long as we don't lose like we did in the SEC tournament, it's how we lost that. We got our asses beat. As long as we play well, I'm gonna be all right.
I mean, like I say, you don't get Don Staley twice. So.
As long as we make it a game and it's
I know game, you, it's hard good. To be it's hard to beat a team three times as Kentucky on the men's side when they fought Tennessee in that game. Good
question. Right.
But for me, you just don't get Don Staley twice. I'm sorry.
We shall see.
You just don't get Don Staley. I could be wrong. This could be the difference, but I don't see you getting Don Staley twice. Unless you know what
I mean. I ain't mad at you for saying it. I promise I'm not. I mean, it's Don Staley in South Carolina. It is what it is. I hope that's true.
I see you, Cole. Speaking into existence.
You know?
Speaking into existence.
But the last time they won was in 1985, and that was the year I was born. So maybe 40 years later, we're going to win it.
Problem is, it's still Don Staley on the other side.
It's still Don Staley on the other side, and Geno.
That's all my problem is. You got Don Staley on the other side. I'm sorry. you have to give me a reason to bet against that woman over there.
Right. I understand.
And if it's Geno, that's my reason.
I get it.
If it's something happened to be UCLA, give me South Carolina. I'm taking South Carolina because you know why? Because the only reason why UCLA is the overall number one seed is because you had the head-to-head win over South Carolina.
Right.
And you don't think Dante ain't going to use that as a motivational factor. So I'm going to do my best, Jay Billis. If you don't want South Carolina to win, well, you got to deal with UConn. So pick your poison, which one you want to win.
It's like your consolation prize.
So with that being said, we're going to get out of here. Enjoy the Final Four and the National Championship, because the National Championship game is on Sunday.
Everybody enjoy the tournament. It was
I will recap that one. I will recap the National Championship game on the women's side on Monday when me and Cole, and if Megan Price is available to join us, when we preview the National Championship game for the men's.
Right. All right. Well, I will try. I have baseball going on next week, so we shall see, but I will try.
For the Queen of Hoops, Megan Price on the Playmaker. Y'all have a good one. Enjoy the weekend.
You've done good. You've done great. But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You got to keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you got to keep pushing. Now, finish your camp.
Yeah, got to get it out the mud. That's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Being through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door. That's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Girl, that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.
Masterpiece.